It's great to have Tim with us this morning. He's a good man, and his wife Bronwyn is ministering in Canberra today, so unfortunately she couldn't be here as well. But these guys do an incredible job in Thailand for such a long period of time, and it's great that they could come home and visit family and be with us today. So we really want you to give Tim a great warm Marutna welcome as he comes.
I'm so happy to be here inside this room in the warmth. It's fantastic. I love it. Can I just move this forward a little bit? What do you reckon? Go up or stay down? Is that all right? Oh, no. Oh, I feel... Yeah, that's all right. Bring me up. That's cool. Hey, that was amazing. That was really cool. Thank you. That was fantastic. So enjoyed that. As we said, I'm Tim. Does anyone here met me before? We've been... great. That's what we like to see. Yes, people responding. Yes, I see that hand. I see it. Yeah, great. Hey, my wife's in Canberra today, and she's having a good time. She's speaking at 5 different services and 2 appointments. I said, ha-ha, I got the good job. but I'm just rapt to be here with you today. It's great to see our friend John, who brought your school guys over, and the 2 red-headed guys down the back there. I remember you, not this time, but the time before. It was fantastic. Great to see you all. I feel like I've come home again. We've been doing this for 11 years now in Thailand, and you guys have partnered with us the whole time. You're just awesome. Thank you so much. There's been amazing things happening. I bring greetings from the church in Thailand. The River, who we work with, Eric and Mariana Klar, they've been there 25 years now. Mariana's father was the first Pentecostal missionary from any missionary to go to Thailand in the 1940s. He went there with just this fire in his spirit to do something. He wasn't an educated man. At that time, to be a missionary, you needed to be educated and have done years and years of study. And he just went with the fire of God and the Holy Spirit. And as soon as he got there, the missionaries got together, saw his lack of education, saw who he was, and took up an offering and gave it to him and says, here, take this is your ticket home. Just go, you won't last. And 40 years later, he's known as Mr. Pentecost in the nation of Thailand. And then from central to northern Thailand, there's many churches, many children's homes, many Bible colleges that are there because of this man. And we count it a great privilege to be working on the shoulders of such great people. And because of that, we have great stories to tell, not just of our work, but because the baton's being handed on and things are happening in the nation. I bring greetings from the river people there, from those of you who know Yua and Dang and Wong Duan and all these really weird names. It's fantastic. But we're actually here in Australia this time because my father-in-law turned 80 last week, which is a really good one. And my son gave us a grandchild like 2 weeks ago. Yeah! So I now have a granddaughter. As some of you would know, a granddaughter who's 2 years old, and she lives in Japan with our son who's doing missionary work over there. And I now have a grandson as well, and another one on the way coming in where? In Japan. You know, Thailand is a nation, it's 95% Buddhist. 95% Buddhist, 4% Muslim, and the rest of us make up the last 1%. So they actually reckon we're about 0.5% Christian in the whole nation. If you're up in the northern part of Thailand, there's been revival take place among the tribal groups, the Karen people in particular, so that of the maybe 500,000 Karen people, 10% of those are followers of Christ. So when you take that proportion out, they say we're 0.5%, but when you take that out, it actually comes down to Thailand's about 0.16% Christian, which is about 1 in every 600 or something crazy like that, which means we've got a lot of work to do. And we're working hard at it, and we are delighted with what God is doing. You can look at the challenge and say, this is such a huge challenge. But then what you do is you look at the challenges that you've already been through and the things that you've experienced, and you recognize that the impossible has already taken place. The things that were impossible have already happened. And when I look back, I remember these things, and it gives me faith and courage to see that what God has promised us is going to happen. When God says, I'm going to clean up this city and I'm going to start in the darkest, hardest places and I will change this city. When he says that and you look at it 4 or 5 years later and you go, it still looks impossible, you remember what God has done before. That in the villages that were a village of 200 people or something, just a small group in a village, and who are animistic people and who are spirit worshippers, who have witch doctors, who are not interested in the things of God, who worship, but worship from a point of fear rather than a point of love. And we go, you go into these places and you see this is impossible, but you know that God's called you. And many years later, you turn around and you look back and you say, wow, look what the Lord has done, as that whole village has come to Christ and is now ministering into other villages. I love what God's doing. We're in the south of Thailand. I love what God's doing with us in the north of Thailand, in the villages, in our hub in Chiang Mai, and then in our city work now in Bangkok, the mega city of 14 million people, anywhere between 12 to 16 million people. No one knows. But what God's doing there and the promises he's given us for these places. And that's my word, one of my words, God's words for you today is the promises he's given you, they may look impossible today, but that's because they're his promises, not your promises. And he is the God, not of the mundane. He is the God of the extraordinary. He's involved in everything, but he is always the God of the impossible. Always. I got a video. Have you shown our videos? And maybe you have, I'm not sure. If you've seen it before, I apologize. Watch it again. I think it's fantastic. The one 2018. Thank you. Not the cow. We'll have a look at the cow soon. And it's got sound. Thank you.
TheRiver.Asia. Under the leadership of Eric and Mariana Clark, are bringing the good news and life-transforming love of Jesus Christ to communities, villages, cities, and nations. In the rural villages of northern Thailand, young men are now pastoring churches and going to neighboring villages bringing the gospel through action and words. In the southernmost part of Thailand, the team have received incredible favor and open doors, bringing Jesus to a Muslim world, working alongside the government and communities. This city borders Malaysia, making it an ideal location for migrant abuse. The River.Asia are now well known and established, opening doors for other caring organizations and providing a health clinic for young women trapped in the web of sex slavery in this city. In Bangkok, the River.Asia team are visiting slum communities, loving people and doing life together. The River.Asia has acquired a new base on the Chulalongkorn University grounds, right next to the uni's dormitories. In Hang Dong, the River team are visiting and caring for people in their homes, growing a thriving church, and training many from around the nations. The team continues to move forward through many different ways and events, including Myanmar Youth Conference, inspiring young men and women to give their lives for the gospel and go to the cities and the nations. Sisterhood Women's Conference, boot camp this year in Indonesia. The first ever government-sanctioned outdoor gospel music festival in communist Laos.
Woohoo!
So it's pretty exciting just seeing people come to know Jesus. I love it when we get to see young people come to know him, you know? And I love it when they've got green hair and red hair and all this sort of stuff. And we just say, mate, you're welcome into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter about your hair or whatever, you know? But yeah, I must say that's probably the brightest hair I've seen on. They're really cool guys. Those guys, just for your information, they were a part of a children's home and we just connected, not with the children's home itself, but with the kids. They started coming to our church and these kids really didn't have any idea, a bit myself, which I'm going to talk about soon. They didn't have any idea that God had a plan and a purpose for their lives and that it wasn't just about religion like everything is in Thailand. But it's pretty cool. You enjoy that? It's really good seeing what God's doing. You know, as I said, in the south, God spoke to us and said, as we're in this city and it's an area where there's a lot of sex trafficking going on, it's actually, that just makes it sound like, oh yeah, but it's just horrendous. It is really horrendous. It's the most evil, vile thing I've ever seen, and I can't get my head around it. And sometimes I just refuse to get my head around what's going on there. But God spoke to us so clearly and said, I'm going to clean this city. I can't talk about this without it becoming, because it's so real. I'm going to clean this city. I'm going to start in the darkest, hardest places. And, you know, we go into that city. It's a city of 32,000 people in the center of the city. And there's between 2,000 to 3,000 girls in sex slavery in this thing. And we're like, it's a border town. So people can just come over the river it's just too easy to come in from Malaysia and all this sort of stuff going on. But God spoke to us, and you know, we've found ourselves becoming friends with our prostitutes, friends with owners, friends with mafia people, and just finding that, you know, God loves these people. God loves these people, and he has a purpose. And we knew that God said, I'm going to send people, but I need someone just to start, just to get in there and start. And we just started. Now we've found a big organization, A21's come on board and is working together with us in this. We've got a beautiful girl called Kylie, who's a Kiwi like me, who's come down to, has come from London, who's been working in this area for a long time on the streets there. Has come from London, and God spoke to her and said, everyone's working in Pattaya, everyone's working in Bangkok and all these big places, and there's organizations everywhere wanting to work there. But no one's coming down to the south. Nobody wants to go to the south. It's a volatile area. It's 85% Muslim. It's bombs go off. There's still people being killed regularly there, just drive-by shootings and bombs. It's a terrorist spot. There's just army on every street. Every time you ride your motorbike, you know, and you go into the park your bike, you got to put the seat up so that they can see there's no bomb under the seat. Just an incredible. No one wants to go there. And God spoke to Kylie. And Kylie said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And we have just, even for the last year, we've had from Wine Press, I don't know if you know Arthur and Danny Cherry and Wine Press. They've got a big church there. Danny, the senior pastor, the wife, you know, the senior pastor, she gave us a year and she came and helped us down there work on that thing just going on. And there is phenomenal stuff going on. We've got medical clinic going on down there. We've got this incredible liaison partnership with the government where Kylie's recognized as a nurse in the country there, which was impossible to do. But she's just all these things going on because God loves people. He just loves people. It doesn't matter whether they love him or not. He loves them. Whether they know him, whether they worship some other God, his heart is for people. So much for people. You know, in the mountains of northern Thailand, Chiang Mai, it's called Mesuriang, which doesn't mean anything to anyone, but it's right up in the mountains where these people live. They've come from refugees at different times, or the borders have changed with Myanmar and the countries around, and they end up living in these places, and they're allowed to stay there by the government. They've been there a long, you know, hundreds of years kind of thing. And we've got people up in those areas where their villages have come to Christ, and then their village has encountered the Holy Spirit, and so the whole village has become rather than just being, oh, yeah, we're now Christians, but they've become people who are like, we've got to go and reach everybody. We've got to reach the regions around us. We've got to help the people around us. And they've become these guys. Yingwet is one of those missionaries from a different tribal group now reaching out into other tribal groups who speak a different language, different cultures. It's fantastic what's going on. These two guys called Boy and Win, who got filled with the Holy Spirit and now just pastoring a church. Win started pastoring the church at the age of, let me get it right, 17. He was the pastor of the church. And the reason he was the pastor was because he went and spent 3 months in Bible college. And so when he came back, he knew more than anybody else. So he became the pastor, I think we're 6 years on now, 7 years on. And he's just a man of integrity and Boy along with him. And these guys are out just loving people, going out. We taught them how to build toilets, how to do water systems so that they can go to a village and not just bring love, but bring practical things. Not just bring God, but bring practical things into their lives. And are seeing people come to Christ. I want to ask you to pray for these guys in this area. Yingwet, Boy, Win, these villages, Hoike Ba, Hoihia, Barnbuik, all these villages, they're farmers, right? And farming here, we have a lot of help in the fact that we have a lot of knowledge given to us. These guys don't really have a lot of knowledge. They've done the same thing for year after year after year. They're working on mountains like this, growing rice, growing cabbages by hand. Phenomenal people. But they were just tested recently for toxins in their bodies. And there's three levels. There's a level where it's okay. There's a level where it's dangerous and you need to do something about it. And then there's, this is ridiculously very dangerous. And everybody in these villages has come in the top level because they're spraying with pesticides and toxins, and they just don't know that. It's in all their foods and it's in everything they're doing. So they've given them some medicines that they take. You've got to take for the next 3 months to see if it would help. But please pray for these guys. It's a real serious issue in the area there. But, you know, these guys are seeing so many people come to know Jesus. It's really, really cool. And we love going up there and just encouraging them. Guys, you're doing a great job. They, by faith, just built a building over the last 5 years. Obviously, churches, and we helped them at times. But they, the whole village went out and made it happen. They've just built this big, it would be about, have you seen it, John? That how big is it? It's a 50-meter kind of thing, isn't it? Long building up on a mountain, on a hill. And they built it there because they have a vision and a passion that they want to be an area where people can come together, the villagers can come together, praise God, have conferences, have training so we can all go out and be sent out. They built it and it's been finished. It's done. It was a phenomenal effort by them all. We have other villages in an area called Nan, and it just hit the papers about a month ago. There was a mudslide in this area, and way too much rain, and it caused this massive mudslide. And in one village, 8 people from one family all died in that mudslide, and 3 of those people were from our church up in that area, which is pretty full on. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for these guys in that area of Nan as well. It's really serious. The government has now told them you can no longer go back to your homes ever. It's just too unstable in that area. They were allowed to go back for an hour, get their stuff and come. But that's their livelihood. That's their farms. That's everything they have. So they now have nothing. What we've seen through that is the church got behind it. And even from Australia, people financially supported, and we were able to send many relief stuff into there for the people. And through that, our guys, our pastors up there are working so hard and just loving people. And they have seen, I would say, 20 to 30 people come to know Christ through this event. So we praise God at what's going on like that. In Bangkok, where my wife and I, we now live in Bangkok. We used to be in Chiang Mai. We're living there, and we're just... over the last few years, we've just been trying to work out, God, we know we're meant to be here. What are we meant to be doing? What does it look like? Well, we've just acquired, started renting a premises right on the edge of the Chulalongkorn University. Now, that's the King's University. That's the prestigious university of the country. There's 30,000 students in that University, and we've got a property right on their land, as that bit you saw there. And it's awesome. It's right in amongst people, like on our street. The other side of the street, there's dormitories just with these university students, and there's shops down below, cafes, everything. It's amazing how we were like, God, we can't even find anywhere here. And then we found this area, and it was like the cheapest place we could possibly get. And then we asked some tongue-in-cheek, or whatever you call it, cheekily, we said, can we have a 60% discount? And they said, yes. So it's all good. So we've got a new church service happening on a Sunday afternoon, and we're getting young people coming along. It's really cool. It's really cool. We just were involved in a Planet Shakers concert where we were doing all the follow-up, and we were actually the ones, our name went on everything as though the river was the one that was running it, where it was actually just a friend of ours who was really running it, but he wanted someone with a really good name involved in it. So pretty cool. Hey, I'm just going to show you one more video before I bring the real word that I have for you today. But I think you'll like this. This is a classic thing that happens in the villages and the farming communities. It's called cow, the cow one. That's right. Thank you. Watch this. This is Karen language. He's going to interpret into Thai.
เดี๋ยวจะเลตีเดี๋ยวจะบ้าที่ผ่าเขาไปถือแล้วเขามาที่ถามเผื่อเกิดใกล้เนาะที่ถามเผื่อจะจอดีฮะเดี๋ยวท่าดาแม่ฮู้เถาะเขาที่ถามเผื่อเสร็จแล้วก็ว่าไปก้นไปเขาตกบัวใช่ไหมแล้วเขาก็ไปบัวก็ไปเลยขอบคุณพระเจ้าเป็นพระคุณของพระเจ้าเขาบอก
As you guys would know, her cow was her livelihood. You know, it meant a lot. I love that, though. The cow's dead. She goes, oh, what's your problem? And then just starts praying for it. And then says, okay, get up and go. And it gets up and go. You know, that I love that because I come from a little town in New Zealand called Bulls. And it just reminds me so much of my town in Bulls. New Zealand's a pretty small country, right? Pretty small. When I was there, there were 3 million people and 60 million sheep. But it was a small place. And I came from a small town called Bulls. I think we had 1,800 people in the town. It was just, you know, really, really small place. I went to the high school up in the next town, and it was a small high school, and our classes were small. And I was always the second, never the smallest, but I was always the second smallest guy in the class. Every single class of my life, I was the second smallest guy in the class. And when you're from that small place and you're feeling, you feel small, you know, it's like, yep, this is great, this is my life. I was 10 years of age when I gave my life to Jesus, and I did that because the guy at the front, who was my dad, was preaching, and he was preaching, and I have no idea what he was talking about. All I remember was hearing the words heaven and hell, and it freaked me out at the age of 10, and I'm like, something inside of me went, I don't want to go to hell. And so I put my hand up, and I walked to the front, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I loved God, and I knew that my life was destined for boredom, because that was what it was like to be a Christian. Seriously, that's what I thought. That's what I saw. And through my teenage years, I never did the wrong things. I never drank. I was a good boy. I obeyed my parents. I didn't smoke. I didn't go out with my friends. I used to look at what they were doing and going, yeah, that's not, I don't see any purpose in that. And I never got involved in all that stuff. But I knew that my life was still going to be just a normal, mundane life. Until the age of 19... when I met the real Jesus. When I met the real Jesus. And I was a carpenter at the time. I continued to be a carpenter. But something, my outside circumstances didn't change, but on the inside, something just went turned on. Something turned on and just went wild. And I was not the same guy that I used to be. All of a sudden, I recognized my life had a purpose and that God had something bigger for me than I could even imagine. I just remember in New Zealand, this little town, me having a picture of me standing in front of lots of people, and it was like I was at a rock concert, but it was kind of like a Jesus thing, and it was worshiping. And at that time, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. I didn't know of Youth Alive. I didn't know of Planet Shakers. We didn't know of all these things. But God gave me this picture. And then later, many years later, I stood on a stage and I looked out at all these people and I went, oh my goodness, here I am. Here I am. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, our world tells us so many, if we look at it, our world tells us that you're a mistake. You're just an accident that happened, and there's not a lot you can do about it. You just happen to be here at this time. You're an amoeba that got lucky. You're a frog that transformed pretty good. You know, you are, really, you started from nothing. You are nothing, and you will be nothing. That is not the purpose of God for your life. That is not who God has called you to be. In fact, if you look at it from the very first moment, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, but from the very, very first moment, you were a winner. The first thing we ever did in this world was we won a race. Yeah? We won. From the very first moment, the gun went, oh, careful, Tim. It went off, bang! You went as fast as you could possibly go, and you were against a whole lot of other competitors, and you won. First thing ever. Don't you ever, ever, ever let anyone tell you you're a loser. The fact that you are here today, you are a miracle and you are a winner, correct? Correct. Correct. Number one thing I want to say today is you're a winner. All right? You are a winner. No matter what anybody tells you, you are a winner. You're born to win. You are born to complete the purpose that God has for your life. No one can stop you. You may, the thoughts in your head, those things that are there, just remember. I always do this. I go, remember what God has done. Well, the first thing he ever did in you was cause you to be a winner. I love it. Rah. You won that race. Number two, you, my friend, are a work of art. You are a work of art. You're a masterpiece. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. You know, he took us and he has created us into something beautiful. Something beautiful. You know, if I drew a picture right here and I stood here and I showed you it and it was something that I drew, it's not worth, it doesn't have a lot of value. But if there was a name on there, because my work would be something like this, a Picasso, you know, it would be, then all of a sudden it becomes of value, doesn't it? It becomes of great value. Did you know that the name of God is written in you? It is written in your DNA. It is written in you. The name of God is written on you, in you, or through you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a piece of art. You are a work of art. We've heard that in many different ways. But you are a work of art. You are a masterpiece. And you're not finished yet. I love it. I love it. This is who we are. This is who we are. And the thing I love about that masterpiece is that God says, in the beginning, we were formed in the image of God. You know, in the image of God. It is true. His name is in our DNA. We're formed in his image, like him, like him. I live in a nation that doesn't know how to praise. It doesn't know how to see the good in people. We're so quick to bring others down and pull them down. And really, I live in a nation where you just don't, Tyler, you don't praise other people. You don't give credit. You don't do these things. But you know, it is so important that we recognize we are created in the image of God. We are winners. We are born to win. Bible tells us that though we were still sinners, Jesus gave his life in exchange for ours. I find in Thailand and even in this nation that people seem to have a really, really low, self-worth, sense of value of ourselves. But Jesus gave his life in exchange for us. I'm a winner. I am art. And I'm loved. I'm loved. I believe we live, you see it around us, and so many people, in talking with counselors and all sorts of things, so many people, their lives are so messed up and just so complicated. And we do crazy things because we don't really know that we're loved. We don't understand that we're loved. Aretha Franklin, who died just recently, made, that's the next one, mate, yeah, says, when God loves you, what can be better than that? Hey, what can be better than that? We live in a nation in Thailand that is soaked in religion. It's 95% Buddhist. And so religion here, we're like, religion scoffed at. There, religion is venerated. It's really honored. It's if you are Thai, you are Buddhist. And you go to the temple and you do these things and everyone's happy with that and we understand it. But if I go to someone, and I would say in Thailand, if I go to someone and they'll say to me, I start to talk about Jesus or love, and they say, oh, are you Christian? You know what? I say, no, I'm not. I like that. No, I'm not a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Because you see, if I say I'm a Christian, to you, Christian means, okay, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. To them, it means I'm a religion. And it's not the same as my religion. And so therefore, I've just put a wall in between you and me. And I know the first thing that you're going to say is, if I say I'm a Christian, you're going to say, oh, all religions are good. End of conversation. All religions are good. End of conversation. And that's the go-to line. And we want to break that mindset because we need people to recognize, I don't care whether you're a Buddhist, you're a Muslim, or you're a Christian, because at the end of the day, they're just titles. Whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim, or a Christian, God loves you, and I want you, why don't you start following Jesus? We need to be followers of Jesus, not sitting in my club, not sitting in my group, not sitting where it feels comfortable, but a follower of Jesus, because Jesus will come into your mosque, and he'll come into your temple, and he'll come into wherever you are. He'll come into your brothel. He'll come into wherever you are. He'll come into your pub. He'll come into your home. He'll come into where you feel comfortable because he loves you. And you know, when I have found that people in Thailand are not interested in religions and changing religion or anything like that, it's really to say, would you go from being a Buddhist to being a Christian? You're saying, would you please leave your patriotic, your nationality and become another nationality? Go from being Asian to become Western is the concept that I'm trying to give them. But what we're saying is, come and experience real love from a God who really, really loves you. And you know what we've noticed? We've noticed that when you get real with people and you love people and you display the love of God that lives inside of you, who lives inside of you, when we do this, love is a magnet. Love is a magnet, man. It's the strongest magnet people have never experienced this magnet. This love where it's about you, I love you and God loves you. And it's not a love where I love you, therefore you do this for me. It's he loves you. Is this okay? It's really good. This is the language, I believe, that transforms a nation. A language that says you are loved, God loves you, and he has a purpose for your life. God, you're so good. And I apologize for my sniffing. I was crying before. That's the problem. Your worship, your people, it's all your worship people's fault. I was happy walking in the door and then started worshiping God and my nose starts running and my eyes start running. It's just wrong. Thank you. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Do you know, just go away from that, Tim. You are loved more than you can imagine. Loved more than you can imagine. My daughter yesterday, we've got a house in where are we? What country? Australia, Melbourne. Thank you. We've got a house in Melbourne, right? And my kids live in there. My daughters are living in there. And it's filled with people and because they've just rented out all the rooms. And she came over and spent time with us. And then she came back and, oh, there's no room so in the house. So she's in the shed. And so we just built a little room in there. And then I decided, no, I'm going to make it better because she needs better. She's my daughter. And then yesterday I built this room. And I came and said, come and have a look at this. And she comes in and she goes, I'm so unworthy of all this. And I go, what are you talking about? She says, I don't deserve this. This is amazing. I said, excuse me. No, it's not you are worthy of this. And I'll tell you why you're worthy. Because you're my daughter. Because you're my daughter. That's why you're worthy. Because I love you more than anything on this planet. And I'm going to do whatever I can for you. Therefore, you are worthy. It's not about how you feel about this situation. It's about who you are. You're my daughter. I love you like crazy, and you are so worthy of my love. And you know who? That's God. That's God right there. It's, you know, sometimes I feel like crap. Sometimes I just feel like, ugh, I don't deserve this, Lord. People think I'm doing such a great job here in Thailand. I feel like I'm doing absolutely nothing right now and that nothing's working and that everything I put my hand to doesn't work and I wish it would work, but it doesn't work, so I'd have better stories to take back. But... you know, I'm being honest, but it's not about that. It's not about my love for him. It's not about how much I can love him. It's about how much he loves me. It's so cool. When I grew up, it was all about, you got to love Jesus more. You got to love Jesus more. You got to love him more. No, you don't. You got to understand his love for you more. You just got to understand how much he loves you. And then it's like, far out. I just fell more in love with you because I realized how much you really love me and how it really doesn't matter whether I stuffed up yesterday, what I did today. What it's about, you love me. And your love for me is the same love as you have for my neighbor. You have for the guy on the street, the girl in the south, the people in the north, the kids in Bangkok. I'm not being very eloquent today, but... you know, the love of God, the love of God. It's the heart of the Father. What does that love look like? It's way beyond what we can imagine. Seriously, way beyond what we can imagine. I want to encourage you, don't get caught in the stress thing of I've got to be doing the right thing. I've got to be looking like I'm the right thing. You are the right thing. You are the right thing. You are. You are the right thing. You are who God created you to be. You are beautiful. You are a winner. You are a piece of art that He has created. And you are so loved and you belong. You belong. You belong to the family of God. Has anyone in this room ever been hurt? Okay, has anyone in this room ever been hurt by someone in a church? Oh, everybody, wow. What's that song? Frozen. I can't remember the words. Yeah, what's the verse? The snow grows cold on, falls cold on the mountain tonight. Not a creature to be seen. Kingdom of isolation. And it seems like I'm the queen. Let it go, let it go. Sorry. Yeah. And slams the door. Have you seen the movie? Has anyone who has not seen the movie, please put your hand up. Lord, I pray for these people right now, Father. And it's this great scene because it's this girl who has this ice that comes off her hands. Yeah, it's stuff. But it's a song about a king of isolation. And at the end of the song, she goes, "The cold doesn't bother me anymore," and she slams those frozen ice doors shut. Has anybody ever been hurt? You ever been hurt and you slam those ice doors shut and you go, you know, not angry with God, it's just people. And you go, "Jesus, it's just you and me from now on. It's just you and me." And Jesus goes, "Yeah, that's not how it works." You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And sometimes we get really hurt. And sometimes it's seriously real things. And I don't belittle those, what happened. I don't belittle those things at all. But what happens when we become when we isolate ourselves is we forget something. See, my daughters were really sick many years ago. And I remember being in Thailand at the time and just not seeing a way out. Praise God, God's done amazing things in their lives. But I remember not seeing a way out and being in so much pain that I could hardly do anything. My mind wouldn't work, my heart wouldn't work, I couldn't do anything, and I was just in pain all the time, and it felt so wrong. But why was I in pain? Because I loved them. Because I loved them. If I didn't love them, there's no pain. And you know, often at times when things go wrong, we say, I'm never going to be hurt by that again. I'm never going to let that happen to me again. And we put this wall up. But what we do when we put the wall up is, you see, often pain and love are connected. And we say, "I'm never going to be hurt like that again." We actually say, "I'm never going to be loved again. I'm not going to allow love in again." Jesus, the love of the Father causes him to hurt. It's okay to hurt. That's what I'm saying. It's okay. It's okay to hurt. But I think we need to come to a place where we go, and I've had to do this a few times, where we go, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for putting that wall up and not allowing myself. I don't want to be hurt. No one wants to be hurt. But Lord, I didn't actually trust you that you are big enough to heal the pain in that. And I want to learn to love people. I want to learn to be loved, and I want to learn how to love people. I want to learn how to receive love." You know, you are loved. You are so loved. And the Bible says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And when you're children of God, you belong. You belong to a family. You belong to others. This morning, you're a winner. You're a winner. Don't ever forget it. You're a winner. God has called you to win. It may look like you're losing, but that's not who you are. You are a winner. And you're a masterpiece. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not something that's gone wrong. You're not on plan B for God's love, for God's purpose for your life. You're always on plan A. Plan A never changes because God is outside of time. He doesn't live in this dimension that he's not confined to this dimension that we are in, this lineal line that says, "I've done the A plus B, oh dear, therefore it must equal C." No, he lives outside of that. So he's able to see the beginning, see the end before the beginning, at the same time as seeing the end at the beginning. I'm confused. I'm so confused. You're a winner. You're a piece of art being formed in him. You are loved. You are so loved. And I want to encourage you to work on that understanding of how loved you are. Go on. Go on. Just feed yourself. Find out how loved you really are. It just changes everything. It really changes everything. And you belong. And sometimes belonging involves pain. because that's how we do life together. Father, I thank you for these people in this room. Lord, I thank you for this city of Marupna. Lord, I thank you that you've called this church to greatness. To greatness. And I love it that for those to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become the greatest servant of all. But you've called us to greatness. Those plans, those things that God has put in your heart, he didn't put them in your heart to disappoint you. But we need to remember, he's not the God who lives in our time frame. He's the God of generations. He's the God of greatness. He's a God of greater things. Father, I thank you for this place. I thank you for these people. You know, there may be people in this place today. There's three types of people. One, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life and you've never come into this relationship that I'm talking about. You may have done church. You may have done religion, but you don't know what. When I say relationship with Jesus, something happens on the inside of you. It's like something's just there's like this tug on the inside. It's like, I don't have that. Today's your opportunity to start that relationship. There's other people in this room and you've walked with Christ, some for many years, but you're not in that relationship at this time. Because all relationships are fluid. We're in love. Then sometimes we're not quite so in love. And then there's other people in this room. You just want to say yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. I just want to follow you more. I want to know you. I love you. I want to love you more. If you've never asked Jesus into your life and you want to start that relationship, why don't you just raise your hand right now? I'll see it. We'll pray for you. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're that person and you've had that relationship, but right now you're just not feeling fluid. You're not in that place where you're in love with him. You just want to say, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming back into that relationship with you. I'm just making the decision, Lord, and inviting you to come and love on me again. If that's you, why don't you just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. You know what? The great thing about God is there's no guilt. There's no condemnation in his kingdom. There's just this place where we can be honest. Say, God, oh, I've been away. I'm back. Now help me to live for you. Lord Jesus, today we all say yes to you. We just say yes. I'm just going to pray a prayer and you guys just follow it in your heart. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we just say this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Your love is amazing. Thank you that I'm your child. I was born for a purpose, that you're creating me into something beautiful, and that you love me. I thank you. I'm a part of your family. I'm saying yes to your love today. In Jesus' name. In the top row there with your hands like this, just in the very front. Yeah, that's it. I don't actually have a specific word, but I just felt the Holy Spirit highlight you to me, so I'm just going to step out in faith and start talking. And I see a strength in your spirit. I see a strength in you, and there's an integrity in your life the Holy Spirit's going to use in the future. God's going to use you in integrity to be able to speak into situations where it seems as though everything's right, and then people are starting to just skew off a little bit, moving away from the integrity, the integral path. And I just see God putting a courage in your spirit to say, can we bring that back in line with the Word of God? Can we bring that back in line with His purpose that He has for us? And I just want to encourage you in that. So I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. You stand strong on those things. Build that relationship, which I believe you have. I can see it. But in that integrity, God's calling you to stand in the gap for His purposes. To stand like with, I see a banner, like a standard. That's the word I'm looking for. I see a standard. And you're not standing there saying, no, we must do this. But you're standing there gently with a persuasiveness, just saying, let's stand. Let's stand on the banner. Let's stand on the banner of Christ. Let's be integrous in this. Do you love Jesus? I just sense you really do. And I just sense He wants to just wave you with His love over this next period of time. Even your songs this morning, I was just saying, whoa, I don't know where they came from, but they're amazing songs. And that love, that passion, that compassion, I really feel that He wants to bathe you guys in that love. In that love. So, and I see that on you anyway, but really, I'd encourage you as a group to find that love, that thing that He's looking at giving to His people. Does that make sense? Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I've talked enough. You just sing another song, will you? One of those love songs.